Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Here's the podcast for Live the Promise. Enjoy the conversation. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Thanks so much for tuning in. Really glad you're listening today. Well, here's a question for you, and it's kind of a heavy one, but I want you to hang with me here. Do you, in the midst of the chaos and the busyness of the world and even the fullness of your life, often feel alone or even isolated, like you're alone in your problems, wondering if people see you, if God sees you? Well, my guest today is Carol Kent, and she joins me to talk about her book, He Holds My Hand, Experiencing God's Presence and Protection. Carol is always fantastic, and we'll get her on here in just a moment. Have a couple of quick announcements for you first. Want you to know that every week this month, we at Faith Radio are giving away a systematic theology study Bible. And if you've ever shopped for Bibles, you know this. They're very, very expensive. This is a weighty, amazing tool. So happy to get one into your hands. All you have to do is hop on the website, myfaithradio.com, and you might be somebody who ends up with this beautiful study Bible in your mailbox. I hope you are. Also, maybe you've longed to go back to college and you don't have the time and you don't have the money. Well, I am thrilled to announce that we're partnering with the university across the street to offer you a free 6-week online Bible college course on the life of Christ. It starts mid-March. Now is the time to sign up. We are shocked and amazed and blessed by how fast this thing is filling up. We had quite a few spots, but they're filling up. But how about you grab a few friends and say, let's walk through a college course, an online course. So you have some videos by Professor Melissa Larson that you can watch. She gives you reading assignments and then questions to answer. When you're all done with it, you will have just finished a college course on the life of Christ. How awesome is that? And going through it during Lent seems especially powerful. As I said, it doesn't line up exactly with Lent, but it's over Lent, so I think you should do it, don't you? MyFaithRadio.com. You can go there and you can sign up. Also want you to know, we've got a writer's conference coming up in July. We're talking about it now because it's a very big deal and because we have a limited number of one-on-one appointments. When anybody asks me for advice on publishing, I always say get to a writer's conference and make sure you do your homework and sign up with the right person so you can have a face-to-face meeting. Well, when you try to send a proposal in or even a book idea to a publishing house, it's almost guaranteed people won't see it because they get piles and piles of those kinds of inquiries. But you do your homework, and you get on our website, NorthwesternChristianWritersConference.com, and you find the editor that publishes the kind of thing that you want to write, and then you sign up and you make that appointment. And then you use the time from here till then, till July, to get ready for that appointment. That's how it's done. So by the time you get to that appointment, you've got a proposal, you've got some kind of book pitch idea, and you're all ready to go. And it could be that next step in the publishing process. Now, I want you to know you can use those appointments just to ask questions as well. But if you want one of those amazing appointments, now's the time to sign up, all right? NorthwesternChristianWritersConference.com. Also want you to know, if you're brand new to the Faith Radio family, we would love to send you a welcome packet. That's something you have to request, but it's free on our website at myfaithradio.com. And one last thing before we hear from Carol Kent, who's always amazing. I'm not sure if you've checked out our app, but it's free, and you've got to check it out because you can live stream our shows from anywhere. You can catch the podcasts after the fact. So especially if you're traveling this season, we'd sure love it if you'd take us with you. Would you believe we've got friends listening from all over the world because of that cool app? So you can find it in the Apple App Store or on Google Play. Just search Faith Radio Network and you will find it. When you have that thing on your phone, you won't even believe how handy that is. You can listen anytime, anywhere, and as I said, catch the podcast after the fact. Take advantage of it. Apple App Store or Google Play. All right, let me talk about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Carol Kent is best-selling author, popular public speaker, best known for being dynamic, humorous, and encouraging and biblical. All those are true. I've heard her many times. She's a former radio show co-host whose messages have been featured on Focus on the Family. She's been a keynote speaker at Women of Faith, Time Out for Women, and Heritage Keepers, Arena Events, as well presenter at the Praise Gathering for Believers, and Vision New England's Congress. Wow, that's amazing. Carol, welcome back to the show.
Susie, thank you so much. It is always an honor to be on the air with you.
Yeah, we just love having you as well. And you know this, you've been on plenty of times. We love to start out by talking scripture. And you chose Psalm 63:8. I cling to you. Your strong right hand holds me securely. Fabulous passage. Talk about that.
Well, many of your listeners know a little bit about my journey with my son. We raised an only child. And he's a graduate of the U.S. Naval Academy, met and married a beautiful, previously married woman who had two little girls. And many people know that a year into their marriage, we received a middle-of-the-night phone call letting us know our son had been arrested for the murder of his wife's first husband. And we were in shock. There had been multiple allegations of abuse involving the biological father, and it appeared he was about to get unsupervised visitation. Jason's first out of the continental USA assignment with the military would have been Hawaii, which would mean the girls would spend 6 weeks of the summer with their biological father if he had that unsupervised visitation. And in retrospect, Jason unraveled mentally, spiritually, emotionally, in every way, and did the unthinkable. And many times you and I have talked on the air about our journey with our son, with the book When I Lay My Isaac Down and A New Kind of Normal. And I began to think about what God was doing in my life as a result of this unexpected journey and how my personal time with him had changed as a result of a crisis-level situation. And I found that when I was newly in the crisis, it was very hard to read the Bible because I had so many tears, my eyes would blur and I couldn't read the words on the page. Or I would try to read a whole chapter and I would have to read it several times because when you're upset, it's really hard to comprehend what you're reading. Mm-hmm. And so I started reading one verse at a time. And that's where this devotional, He Holds My Hand, comes from. I thought, you know, one verse I can get a grip on. And I would read the verse and I would say, Lord, what are you speaking into my life as a result of this scripture? And then I began to meditate on the scripture and write in a journal as if it were God's prayer over me based on that scripture. And it brought me comfort and intimacy with the Lord. And it was just very restorative to my soul. And so this devotional is written from that perspective. And I have loved doing this project because it meant being in the Word every single day and listening to what the Holy Spirit wanted to speak into my life as a result of His eternal truth.
Mm. So it was born in your heart, just a personal practice of sitting and marinating with the Word and then writing kind of a listening prayer. And just friends, as you're listening today, it's written that way as a listening prayer. And I'd love to just work our way through some of these. In this January 2nd reading, Let Go of Worry, I'll read the Corrie Ten Boom quote and would love to have you read it. And I just feel like, friend listening today, you may need to just hear God's word to you that would just encourage you. And Corrie Ten Boom wrote this, Worrying is carrying tomorrow's load with today's strength, carrying 2 days at once. It's moving into tomorrow ahead of time. Worrying doesn't empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength. And Carol, if you could read the reading, that'd be great.
You've been stressed and anxious about future events. There are work concerns and family issues, along with financial challenges. It's hard to concentrate on what you have to do today because you already know the week ahead is filled with impossible situations, and you're not sure what you should do. You feel the weight of uncertainty, and it's too heavy for you to bear. Instead of worrying, talk to me. I love to respond to your requests. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Worrying about what hasn't happened yet and about what might never happen is fruitless and only robs you of the strength you have today. You will find me if you look for me, and I will provide all you need in perfect timing. I am never late.
Mm. And the passage at the bottom of the page is Matthew 7, verses 7 through 8. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be open. What I love that you chose that passage for the idea of worry, because there are a lot of go-to verses for worry that are really good and important. But this, to me, puts a new spin on it, because it really, there's times when we go to places of worrying. We're not asking and interceding and standing on faith and promises. We're going into our emotions and into our fears. I would love to know how you've navigated those waters over the years, Carol, with a son who's doing life in prison, how you've learned to what to do with your worry.
Well, I certainly want to be honest and say I don't handle it really well every single day. And I know we're approaching Thanksgiving and Christmas, these special holidays when families have reunions. And I just want to speak to every listener out there who is in a difficult place right now as you face the holidays. I think sometimes those are the hardest time periods in the entire year, because everybody around you looks like they're having fun and they look like they're enjoying their families. And it's like you're looking into a picture that isn't going to be the picture for your family. And I know in my case, we will be spending Christmas Day in the visitation area of a maximum security prison, and we'll be having Christmas dinner out of the vending machines. And it's very hard not to be jealous or have some envy when you see other families that look more perfect than yours. And so I will be the first one to say, I'm someone who has worried a lot. I've had anxiety, but I'm learning every day where to go with that anxiety. And one of the most precious things to me, as I've been doing this, the devotional, He Holds My Hand, and working on this project, is to begin praying in a new way, Susie. I used to be the kind of person who would pray what I wanted to be the answer to my prayer. And I would say, oh, Lord, I'm so worried for my son. I have such anxiousness. Lord, I pray that Jason would be freed from prison and set free to come home and to have a normal life and to have his family and to be able to make a living outside of prison walls and to be able to serve you there. And then as I was doing this project, I began concentrating one day on the Lord's Prayer. And you know how I mentioned, you know, just to take even a familiar verse and meditate on it. And I came to, within the Lord's Prayer, that little phrase, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And I realized I had been praying the wrong way. And I said, oh, Lord, I pray that Jason would one day walk in freedom if he could glorify you more on the outside than he can on the inside of a maximum security prison. Lord, I pray for that to happen, but if he can be your missionary on the inside and lead men to Jesus and mentor them and encourage them in their faith and lead Bible studies, and if you can be more glorified with keeping him where he is, Lord, as hard as it is for me to pray this way, thy will be done. And that's one of the hardest prayers I've had to pray, Susie. And one of the devotionals is based on that. But I think it is so essential that we take what God's word says and Lord, and say, Lord, how does that apply to me in my circumstances right now? And you know, when I began applying that scripture, I began to sense a release of anxiety.
Wow.
And I found that my worry began to go away, because I realized as I look at what my son is doing on the inside of this prison, that God is being glorified and that I can rejoice in that and know my prayer has not been answered in the way I wanted it to be answered. But I am so aware of the fact that God is at work in ways that I can hardly believe. And I know that we are praying for something that is important, because men behind bars are finding Jesus as their personal Savior. And that is a good thing.
Talking to Carol Kent, thy will be done. Maybe that's the prayer that God's asking you to pray. It's a prayer of surrender and a prayer of faith. And God is good. He is good. And his promises are true. Carol Kent's book is He Holds My Hand, Experiencing God's Presence and Protection. If you'd like a copy, want to get in on the drawing, just email livethepromise@myfaithradio.com. Put Carol Kent in the subject line. And don't forget that mailing address. And we will be back in a minute. love this, the line that we're hearing right now. We will see the enemy run. We will see the victory come. So we hold on to every promise he's ever made because he is unfailing. Maybe you need to hear that today. You will see the enemy run. There's going to be a day where he goes running for his life. You're going to see the victory come. So you hold on to the promises, every promise God has ever made, because he is faithful. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to my friend Carol Kent. He's written a beautiful new devotional, He Holds My Hand, Experiencing God's Presence and Protection. It's got daily readings, and it kind of reads like Jesus calling a little bit, like in the listening prayer. And then she's got classic authors who quote, she opens every reading with a quote. I'm looking at this one January 4th on waiting. I've given Carol a heads up because we're taking turns reading some of these. This one on waiting is so huge. Elizabeth Elliot writes, waiting on God requires the willingness to bear uncertainty, to carry within oneself the unanswered question, lifting the heart to God about it whenever it intrudes upon one's thoughts. And Carol, if you don't mind, if you've got that page, I'd love for you to read on waiting.
I want you to learn the benefits of perseverance. Sometimes you think I move too slowly, and your agenda seems more important than what you'll learn in the process of waiting. But hold on. Be patient. When you think I'm not responding to your prayer, I am already in the process of giving you an answer, just not the response you were looking for. I am choosing to be glorified in a different way than you anticipated. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a dream fulfilled is a tree of life. While you wait for your answer to prayer, read my word, listen to my voice through scripture, through the wise counsel of people who spend time with me, and through the inner impression of your heart as you seek my guidance. Your unanswered questions will draw you close to me, and that's a good place to be.
What would you say is developed in us through waiting that can be developed no other way?
Well, I definitely think it's perseverance. And we have to remember that perseverance is not a long race. It's several short little runs along the way. And we live in a day and age when the enemy has his antenna up and he tries to get to us in our most vulnerable place. And for some people, that's with their children when their kids mess up. And for others, it's that whole health issue, because when we don't feel well, it's very hard to function. And Susie, I know you've been through a tough year and God is so faithful and you sound amazing right now, but I know it's been a long journey. And for me, that vulnerable area is going into the coulda, woulda, shouldas that come about when you have a child who is arrested for a serious crime and you wonder what you could have done differently. And the enemy taunts you and says, if you had just read the word more faithfully, or if you had just prayed more fervently, or if you had been a better parent, this wouldn't have happened. And we need to tell him to get lost.
That's right. And
we need to persevere and hang on. And one of the things we find is that when we choose faith, even when we don't feel like it, our emotions will change and God will bring a sense of peace as we choose to cling to his word and as we choose to read it, even on days when we don't feel like reading it.
Amen. Just so you have a heads up, we got about 4.5 minutes to our hard break at the bottom of the hour. But for those who don't know, the ministry that has come out of your son's imprisonment, I mean, it's mind-boggling, not only what is happening on the inside through him, but what God's doing for families of imprisoned people through you guys. So say a word, if you would, about that.
Well, we launched a nonprofit organization called SpeakUpForHope.org, and we began just looking around and seeing what the needs were. And we noticed in the visitation area that children were sitting for long hours at tables with nothing to do but just sit and talk. And that's hard for children. And so we started gathering games, coloring books, crayons, puzzle word books, and all kinds of reading books where inmates could actually read to their children during the visitation time and let them see beautiful pictures and Christian books. And then we started putting together what we call boxes of hope for wives and moms of inmates. And we fill them with Christian books, a worship CD, with a coffee cup and specialty coffees and teas and words of encouragement. And then we pray over the box that goes to specific family members of inmates that God will bless them as they open up this unexpected package and find some encouragements for the heart inside. And one of the other things we've been doing is getting people involved in what we call the Inmate Care Package Program. Lots and lots of maximum security inmates only have people who truly care about them, visit them, or put money into their accounts for 5 years. That's the average. And then nobody comes anymore, and nobody puts money into their accounts for the basics of personal hygiene items or postage stamps. And so twice a year, we are able to do inmate care packages through the approved Department of Corrections vendor. And our son looks around, and he sees the men and talks to them who no longer have help from the outside. So he gives us a list of those inmates who really could use some encouragement in a tangible way. And then Gene, my husband, and Jason, our son, work together to compile a list of items that we can order through the Inmate Care Package Program and have these surprise gifts sent to these men. Or in some cases, they might need a larger gift, like a pair of tennis shoes and some socks and T-shirts. And so it is just a delight to be able to have Jason as our man on the inside helping us know what the needs are and then providing these items.
How does the system – oh, sorry, keep going, sorry.
Well, we also supply Jason with Bible study books, and he's taken over 700 inmates through Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace University course. And so it's just – it's so ongoing. And, Susie, I'm checking the clock here. One of the exciting new projects is that there is now an accredited Bible seminary at the correctional institution where Jason is, and 52 inmates are involved in the seminary program, and they will become pastors who are in turn sent to other Florida prisons.
Oh, my goodness.
And we are so excited. We help buy reference books for the fellows who are in the seminary, and we truly believe that this could begin a revival in the prisons throughout Florida as these inmate-led prison churches on the inside have these pastors who've been seminary trained at Hardy Correctional Institution. So we are just saying, praise you, Lord. Only God could have allowed this door to open for these men to be trained. And it is exciting to see how thrilled they are to be able to grow in their knowledge of God's Word. And Jason said to us, Mom and Dad, I'm not going to enroll in the program because I have been taught the Word of God since I was young. There are so many men lined up who've never had that chance, and we can support them. So we would ask all of our listeners today to pray for these young men who are graduating from seminary.
Man. Absolutely amazing. I have so many more questions, but see what happens. An enemy comes in like a flood, but the Lord raises up a standard. These prisons, they're mission fields, and God is on it. He's moving. Talking to Carol Kent, more great conversation with her in a moment.
We come to you now.
Love that song. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is of The Promise, talking to my friend Carol Kent, who's got a gorgeous, beautiful new devotional titled He Holds My Hand, Experiencing God's Presence and Protection. And it's, a reading every single day, starting with January 1st. And it reads a little bit like Jesus Calling, so you've got kind of a listening prayer feel. And then you've got opening quotes from Chuck Swindoll, Andrew Murray, J.I. Packer, Elizabeth Elliott. Just fantastic. And before we get into the next reading, though, I got to ask you, before the break, you were talking about all of the ministry that has just broken out since your son's doing life in prison, ministry on the inside, ministry on the outside. How does the system respond to you? Because you're providing books, coloring books for children of families of inmates, and you're wanting to put money in the accounts of those who no longer have people visiting them. I mean, you come up with these different ideas to meet tangible needs. How are they responding to you?
Overall, the response has been amazing. Susie. It's just there's such a need. And we all know that the prisons are very underfunded in probably every single state in the country. And in the United States, statistically speaking, one out of every 100 adults is in jail or prison. So the needs are gigantic. And I think when we just make one little hole in the bucket of needs and start reaching out with love in Jesus' name, overall, it has been so positively received. And I would be the first to say that if you've tried to do a ministry behind bars and you've had a door closed or even slammed in your face or someone disrespected you or didn't make you feel like you were very valuable, try again. And try to contact a person in charge, maybe on a different shift, and you may get somebody more cooperative. Mm. But above all, don't give up trying to volunteer and trying to make a difference. As you pray about it, God will lead you to just the right person who can open a door for you. And often that will be through the jail or prison chaplain, or it might be through the program director or through the warden or the assistant warden. But keep making contacts until you find someone who will listen and say, hey, we could really use that help. Thank you.
Wow. So before the break, you also mentioned how prisoners, the average duration is they're in for 5 years when they stop receiving any kind of visitation, any kind of help from friends or family from the outside. And so Jason on the inside has identified different people who are in that category, and they let you and your hubby know, and you guys make a list of things and you provide things for them. How have people responded to him, on other prisoners on the inside, as he's become this conduit of you know, kingdom work? I would love to know.
Well, they have been so grateful. And I think one of the fun things we hear about is when these care packages arrive, often the guys, they're very creative with what they do, and they can make burritos on the radiators in their rooms, and they come up with all kinds of concoctions and different varieties of food that they put together, and they literally have learned how to celebrate in a very stark and barren place. And so we enjoy the humor they share with us when they come up with some new recipe that they've all enjoyed. But one thing they've learned is how to share the abundance they have with others who have nobody who gives to them. Mm. And I love that spirit of generosity among several of the inmates, and it is really a precious thing to see.
Wow. Okay, so back to the book, He Holds My Hand. I'm looking at Attitudes. That's page 8. It's January 8, and Chuck Swindoll writes this: we cannot change our past. We cannot change the fact that people will act in a certain way. We cannot change the inevitable. The only thing we can do is play on the one string we have, and that is our attitude. He's so full of great wisdom. I love him. But I'd love for you to read this reading, if you would.
Attitudes are the quiet judgments that shape your life. The Apostle Paul wrote from a prison cell in Rome, "Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Every day you have a choice: to give in to the negative voices that surround you, or to live in such a way that you are a credit to the message of Christ. Even when you encounter the toughest trials of life, you can choose to have an attitude like Paul's. Study the life of Jesus. He is the ultimate example of how to live in a fallen world while maintaining a mindset focused on my ultimate purpose. You've been discouraged because you can't control the negative actions of people close to you. When people wear you down, check your thoughts and ask me for inner peace. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me. Then the God of peace will be with you. Ask for my help. Tap into my power, and I will give you the strength to have a godly attitude in the midst of challenges."
Hmm. Wow, that's so good, Carol. Can you think of times specifically where the enemy was baiting you into the ditch of despair or worry or self-pity, and you changed your mind because of what Scripture said? You just thought, I'm not going there, and you chose a different attitude.
I certainly can. And one of the things that the listeners may remember that we talked about a long time ago is when I was speaking at an event in Griffin, Georgia, and I had been asked to share my testimony on my journey with Jason. And keep in mind that often you say yes to a speaking engagement a long time before you're actually there, and you never know when you're going to be in a bad mood or when the enemy is going to be making you feel like, wow, you just really don't have the right to stand up and teach God's truth. Mm. Look at what's happened to your family. And he can really wear on us that way. And I was kind of having a really tough time, but I got up and I shared the story. And a few days later, I got an email from a woman named Tammy Wilson, who told me that the man who murdered her mother 13 years earlier had been incarcerated in the same prison where Jason is now. And she said his name is Matthew Ben Rodriguez. She said, I've been praying for Matt to come to know Jesus for a long time, and I wonder if you think Jason would try to meet him and share Christ with him.
Wow.
Well, I'll tell you, that note got me out of my funk very, very quickly. And I immediately printed that letter. I sent it to Jason, and a few days later, I was at a visit. I said, Jason, do you know Matt Rodriguez? He said, Mom, he's one of my best friends. He's in my biblical counseling class. He said, we don't live in the same quad, but after counseling class, I said, hey, Matt, is your middle name Ben? Matthew Ben Rodriguez? He said, well, yes, how would you know that? He said, well, then, Matt, I have a letter for you. And Jason handed Matthew the letter from Tammy Wilson, the daughter of the woman he had murdered in a botched robbery in a pharmacy in St. Petersburg, Florida, 13 years earlier, saying she was praying for him to come to Jesus. Hmm. And he began to weep. And Jason said, Mom, you're going to meet Matt today because his sister's coming to visit. And a half hour later, in came Matt. He greeted his sister, and with tears rolling down his cheeks, he came over to my table, got down on his knees, and he said, Mrs. Kent, thank you so much for sending that letter. He said, I had already written a 5-page letter to Tammy Wilson and her family asking for their forgiveness for taking the life of their mother. He said, the gun misfired, but I was holding the weapon, and I alone am responsible for the death of that mother. He said, I've had no address to mail it to. Will you ask Tammy if she'd received my letter? Well, I emailed Tammy that night, and she sent her address immediately, and multiple letters passed back and forth between Matt Rodriguez and Tammy Wilson and her sister Kim and even their brother Patrick, who was in high school when his mother's life was taken, and there has been forgiveness and redemption and just an amazing, joyful celebration as these precious kids have gotten to know the man who murdered their mother. And there has truly been a forgiveness that we can only expect that we can only experience in the supernatural dimension. Well, an update on that story that some of our listeners have heard is that Matt and Jason have recently become roommates at the prison. And this is such an answer to prayer. And you know how when we're trying to get out of that funk that the enemy wants us to get into, and God gives us small blessings along the way. It's like we were talking about perseverance earlier, Susie. We just sometimes get little joy bursts in the middle of our journey in the direction of the long haul toward persevering something hard. And to have Matt and Jason roommates now as Christian brothers in Christ is such a blessing. And they are both in Toastmasters on the Inside, which is Gavel Club, teaching other men how to communicate. And there are some non-Christians in that club, so they also get to be a bright light for Jesus in a place where not everybody knows the Lord. And I have watched God growing these men together in their faith. And I had prayed for a long time for Jason to get a better roommate because he was with an inmate who kept taking drugs that were smuggled into the compound. And it was a very difficult place to live in that room. And here he now has his Christian brother in Christ, Matt Rodriguez. Mm. And I am praising the Lord for that. And I'll tell you, that gave me a very positive attitude.
Wow. Isn't that amazing? I mean, and not that you ever would have, but you so could have said, you know I booked this, but I'm in a funk and I have a hard life and I'm not doing this, but to position yourself to go, I'm following through. I'm going to do what God has asked me to do. And I'm gonna put this thing under my feet. It seems like when we go to those inconvenient places, I think it was Spurgeon who said, every work of God comes at an inconvenient time. I mean, there's just times where it doesn't really work for us. But he positioned you to be able to, again, be a conduit of an amazing story. And you think about the healing that happened in that family because of that connection, because of your ministry and your son's ministry. It's really mind-boggling, isn't it?
Well, I look at it in this way. I think as Christians, we just keep taking the next step.
That's right.
Often God does not give us the vision of the complete future. And I don't know if Jason will ever walk in freedom in this lifetime. But I do know that every day, if we focus on walking through the next open door, saying yes to the next opportunity that we know will glorify God, and if even when we don't feel like it, we say, Lord, help me to be faithful in this job today, I believe we will be rewarded. And sometimes the reward is an inner joy. And I was so excited during one of the announcements I heard while I was waiting to come on the show. You're doing a project that involves people doing random acts of kindness. And I got so excited because really that is so true of our ministry as well. We have, when we speak to inmates in the prisons or when we speak to people on the outside, we just share with them, do one random act of kindness every day. And when I talk to inmates, I say, look around and see one kind thing you can do for a fellow inmate or for a volunteer or for a corrections officer. It might be that it's just a word of encouragement, or it might be sharing something you have that you know would bless that other inmate. And it is just amazing what happens in our own hearts when it comes to our attitude when we do the daily task of looking around and helping somebody who needs help worse than we do. It brings joy abundantly clear from both sides, both the giver and the receiver.
Very, very good. Talking to Carol Kent, celebrating the release of her beautiful devotional, He Holds My Hand, experiencing God's presence and protection. When we come back, we're going to talk about facing winter. When you're walking through a winter season of life, what you can do. And Carol, for reference, that's page 13, because we're kind of taking turns reading from her devotional. It's gorgeous. Email if you want in on the drawing. Live the promise at myfaithradio.com. Put Carol Kent in the subject line. Remember the mailing address, and we will be back in a minute. That song by my friend Meredith Andrews, The Hands That Are Holding Me, because it's just true. You got to keep telling your soul, because Scripture says this, your eyes will see the glory of the Lord. You will see the breakthrough. You will see the restoration of all things. Some of these answers will come in this life, others in the life to come. But if they don't come in this life, it's because the answer is so much more glorious than you can imagine. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Talking to my friend Carol Kent. I love this gal. She's got another new book. This one's titled, He Holds My Hand, Experiencing God's Presence and Protection. It's just really a gorgeous coffee table book, but you don't want to just leave it on your coffee table. Each reading is so rich, and it reads like a listening prayer. And she's got a quote from great authors, and then she's got a passage of scripture. And this one is Facing Winter. And let's see, Gerald Sitzer is the author of the quote at the top. The quickest way for anyone to reach the sun and the light of day is not to run west, chasing after the setting sun, but to head east, plunging into the darkness until one comes to the sunrise. If you'd read the Facing Winter entry, I'd love that.
Dear one, I know this feels like the longest winter of your life. Just when you thought there might be a shred of hope that you were entering a new season, you face yet another storm. The bleakness of winter, with no leaves on the trees, no colorful flowers in sight, harsh temperatures and blustery storms reflect your emotions. You're tempted to turn and run away from the demands of people who are counting on you. It's just too hard, too intense, too unfixable, too unfair. I understand your longing for a better life. Be encouraged. If you face the hard place and lean into me, I'll teach you how to respond to the darkness and find light for your journey. Don't be afraid. You are not alone. Place your trembling hand in mine, and together we'll face the obstacles until you see the light of day. Winter always turns into spring. I have a plan, and you will soon see my purpose unfold. Keep walking without wavering.
And the passage is Psalm 27:1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Why should I be afraid? The Lord is my fortress, protecting me from danger. Why should I tremble? And maybe, friend, listening today, you are there where you felt like a breakthrough looked like it was coming, and now I'm hitting another storm. Boy, Carol, you sure have been there where it's like you're coming up for air and the next wave takes you under. Maybe speak to that person listening today. Any advice you'd have for him or her?
I just would like to say that probably the most important thing for you to do is to talk out loud about what you're going through with a Christian you trust, and be open and vulnerable enough to share your journey. One of the hardest places to be is alone in your suffering, where you feel like no one is listening to you, nobody really understands what you're going through. And once you open up to another believer and honestly say, I need your prayer, I just need your advice right now, you will discover that there are some pretty wonderful people in this world who will reach back to you. I know when Jason was initially arrested, we had a group of people who came alongside of us, and they called themselves our stretcher bearers. Hmm. And it goes back to that passage in Luke where Jesus is in town and he's healing people, and friends have a sick friend who can't get to Jesus on their own. And they carry him on a stretcher to the home where Jesus was. And it was so crowded, they couldn't get to him right away. So they cut a hole in the roof, dropped their friend to the room where into the room where Jesus was. And the Bible says Jesus healed him and forgave his sins. And then the Bible says the crowd was awestruck. They had never seen anything like this before. And my friend, if you're hurting right now, allow God to reveal himself and his love for you through his people, and go to his word, tell him what you need. And if you don't feel like you have a friend right now you can talk to, ask him to reveal who that person would be. And if you're listening to me today and life is going well for you, ask God to make you alert to seeing and really understanding the needs of others, and be the first one to reach out to someone who really needs help. And Susie, one of the things I love to encourage people to do, if they know that there is a wife in their church who has a husband who's incarcerated, volunteer to watch her children while that wife goes to visit her husband at the prison. Put a $20 bill in her hand and say, your food out of the vending machines is on us this week. We hope you have a good visit with your spouse. Mm-hmm. Things like that encourage us. And sometimes we're on the receiving end and sometimes we're on the giving end. And I truly believe that God meets the needs of his people during those winter times of our lives through people who walk closely with him and are alert to the needs of others.
Wow. You have a story. You received a gift, and I think it was through a friend from Jason. I mean, they kind of conspired
yes.
together on your behalf. Tell us that story.
Yes. Well, 2 weeks before the Christmas holidays, I remember looking at the clock because the doorbell rang and it was 9:15, and I was so startled because I thought it's too late for a delivery, and it was dark outside, and I thought, who's ringing my doorbell at this hour? And I ran from my office to the front door, and Jean came from the other side of the house. And when we opened up the door, there was no car there. There was no person standing on the porch. But I looked to the side, and there was this beautifully wrapped gift. It was in gold metallic paper, and it had a great big Christmas bow on it. And there was a card on it, and it said, Mom. And the first thing that hit me was, oh, who's playing a bad joke on me? My son is incarcerated. He has no funds to buy a lovely gift like this, much less to have it delivered. And yet my curiosity got the best of me, and I thought, this is my porch, and I am a mom. And I brought it in, and I opened up the card, and it was from Jason, and it was in his handwriting. And it said, Dear Mom, Throughout these past several years, you and Dad have done everything to meet my needs, and I've never had a chance to reciprocate. But this year, due to a wonderful friend who cares for both of us, I am able to give you a gift that I have never been able to provide in the past. I hope every time you wear this jacket, you'll know how much I love you. And Susie, when I opened the package, there was this beautiful silk jacket, just my perfect size and in a color perfect for a redhead. It was in a russet gold, and I put it on, and I twirled around in front of every mirror on the lower level of my home, just enjoying it so much. And I realized that because Jason and I both have a friend on the outside who wanted to enable him to do something special for me that Christmas, I was blessed with this precious, precious gift. And he signed his name, Love JP, that stands for Jason Paul, and he has this little picture that he puts in his signature line. And where he puts a period after J and P, those are eyes, then he puts a little smiley face with two teeth in the smile. And that's always his way of thanking us for getting his teeth fixed after they were knocked out when he was jumped by inmates during his first week of incarceration, when his front teeth got broken off. And so it was unmistakably from Jason, and such a precious gift.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, we've got one minute left or so, a little over 1 minute before it's time to pray. We could do 2 hours with you, Carol. This one's on Defeating Fear, page 39, and Rick Warren writes, "Fear is a self-imposed prison that will keep you from becoming what God intends for you to be." Hear that again. Fear is a self-imposed prison that will keep you from becoming what God intends for you to be. You must move against it with the weapons of faith and love, which means you've got the armor. You've got what it takes to stand against this fear. So, Carol, read this one on fear.
You can defeat fear if you acknowledge me as your protector, your strength, your victor, and your God. Faith and love always casts out fear. Do not allow apprehension, fright, and uncertainty to occupy your thoughts. Make room for the powerful change that faith and love will bring to your mind and heart. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. When fear knocks at your door, it will often bring dangerous options, emotional paralysis, denial, bitterness, and escape into destructive choices. Don't let fear into your heart. Instead, use the weapons of faith and love. Whenever you experience sorrow for the things that trigger your fear, express that sadness to me. That will lead you to a place of humbly asking for my help. By submitting yourself to my authority while embracing my love, you will begin turning fear into fresh faith, renewed hope, and purposeful action.
Well, Carol, this has been such a rich, rich time, and I just know our listeners are so benefiting from your wisdom and your heart. Would you pray for that person listening today who this is winter for them and they've just hit by another wave? Would you pray for them?
Oh, Father, we come to you today knowing that you are our all-powerful God. You are the one to whom nothing is impossible. And, Father, I pray that you would put your arms around the person who feels hopeless right now. Help her to hear you whisper in his or her ear that you have loved them with an everlasting love and that you won't ever leave them or walk away from them. Lord, give them the wisdom and discernment to know where to go for hope and help. Lord, help the people who are struggling right now in the winter time of their life to turn to your word, which is eternal truth. I pray that you would give them a refreshed faith and that they might discover that hope that felt like it was ebbing is turning into something that is restorative and full of joy. And Father, as we thank you for the gift of your perfect only Son, Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program on our website at myfaithradio.com. Remember this, the Lord wants you to last long and finish strong, and he is the one who keeps you strong to the end. Have a great day. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Live the Promise. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend. Help grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player, and then never miss a show.